Now, there was great excitement this week for fans of the Downton Abbey TV series as a movie, with many of the very familiar and popular characters went on general release. It actually went on general release yesterday, and I got to see it myself during the week, and it is pure bliss for Downton fans. The music, it's luscious and beautiful and exquisite, and all of those pretty unrealistic things, and upstairs, downstairs themes, and all of the above that you would expect. Well, joining me now is the Dublin actor Alan Leach, who stars as Tom Branson, former chauffeur, political activist and land agent for the Downton Estate. Alan is in studio in London, as I say. Good morning to you and thank you for joining us, and congratulations to you and your wife and new baby on the way.
Thank you very much, Marion. Yes, lovely to be on the show with you.
Well, thank you so much indeed. Remind people of the development of your... First of all, how did you get the part? And it was altered slightly, I understand, for your nationality?
It was, yes. I mean, I got the part just by the usual way of going in and auditioning. I had worked with Julian before on a movie called From Time to Time, and when I walked in, I practiced my Yorkshire accent, and because that's where the character was originally from.
Yeah.
And when I went in, he said, actually, I have an idea. And I think he had it there and then, where he thought, okay, this could be interesting. So he said, keep your accent, which I was obviously quite upset about because I'd spent weeks trying to perfect my Yorkshire accent. And then, sure enough, got a call a couple of days later saying, yeah, they want you to do it, and they want you to do it as an Irishman, and he's going to write that into the story.
And you came then as a chauffeur?
Yes, yeah. I was hired for 3 episodes, was originally what I was supposed to be in for. And Julian, throughout the whole, all 6 seasons, he's always written to people's strengths or what he felt, and he was very willing to adapt characters when he saw what was happening in the rushes and as the episodes were being put together. And originally, I think he was supposed to be there, and he thought he'd use him as a political activist. Then he decided to make it a love interest with Lady Sybil. And as he watched that, then he let that play out. And then actually, like, both myself as an actor and the character Tom were kind of a victim of circumstance in that Jessica Brown Findlay, who played Lady Sybil, decided not to come back after 3 seasons, and I was pretty sure that was the end of my journey as well. And as Julian said, if you're a member of the household, you can go away, you can get fired, but if you're in the house, as Julian says himself, you have to die. So sure enough, Sybil croaked it there in episode 5 of season 3, and Julian actually thought it was more interesting to keep Tom on and have this constant battle and struggle with his own identity as an Irishman and his politics as a socialist, suddenly still, you know, almost forced to live the life of the aristocracy.
Yeah, it's a very interesting one. People who say, well, perhaps it's not that hard to live the life of aristocracy with all of the comforts, but you did have, like, in the movie that was on general release yesterday, you did have kind of a very, very leading role, and they also left a question mark at the end so that it didn't shut everything down.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of Julian's favourite things to do, I think, also with for the audience. He never fully finishes anything off. He always leaves it slightly open with the possibility of doing something else. I think he did that at the end of the show, and I think he's done it at the end of the movie. And I was incredibly surprised about the size of the role that I would have. Yeah, genuinely, yeah, I really didn't know. All I really wanted was, out of the movie, was to have, I suppose, some sort of satisfactory end to Branson's journey that I felt that he didn't have at the end of the 6th series.
Well, he doesn't have it now either, does he?
Well, he has a lot, well, slightly more closure, let's say, than he had before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the last scene I had in the show had me standing beside a woman who just caught a bouquet, and he looked a bit terrified. But So I definitely felt that there was a lot more hope, I guess, for his character by the end of the movie.
Right. Six series and the movie, you must all be kind of very familiar with one another now, or do you drive one another mad?
I think a lot of us are very close, myself and Michelle Dockery and Laura Carmichael, who play the two sisters, and Hugh Bonneville. We have our own little WhatsApp group, and we keep in constant contact, and we have since the show ended.
Right.
And the rest of us, because we've kind of, we all enjoyed this success together, and it truly is very unique, I think, in a career to be part of a show that is so loved worldwide and yeah. has enjoyed such success. And that kind of does bond us. So whenever we do get together, we always end up having a great time. And
right.
a lot of the cast, of course, you wouldn't see. I've been lucky enough to work with everyone because I started, obviously, downstairs, and then the character found his way upstairs.
Yeah.
But like Michelle Dockery and Leslie Nicol, who plays Mrs. Patmore, they never have a scene together. So the only time they get to hang out is when we go promoting it. So there is that kind of sense that we can't drive each other mad because oftentimes we don't see each other that
because
often.
Because it really is upstairs and downstairs. And you invited them to your wedding. You're in the United States now.
Yeah, I'm living out in LA. Yeah, yeah. Got married in January. And many of them came out and for the nuptials, which was fantastic.
Right. But I gather it was not the wedding, but the day was a bit of a washout.
It was, yeah, unexpected. You know, you get married in California, you're expecting, you know, the sun to be splitting the stones. But unfortunately, we got a torrential downpour. Well, it was kind of unfortunate and it was kind of brilliant as well because, you know, all the Irish that descended obviously brought the weather with them.
So blame home.
But it was kind of brilliant because the string quartet turned up at the where we were getting married under this tent, and they didn't even get out of the car, they just drove off. So my cousin Oisin, who's in a band called the Lost Brothers, he broke out a guitar and himself and Darren Chris and Leah Michelle, who are both, you know, very established singers, they were in a show called Glee, they sang us down the aisle instead, so it was kind of amazing.
Oh, that is indeed. Now, I don't know about the rest of the listeners, but I am more or less addicted to Maggie Smith. is she constantly, like, I know this is ridiculous, the woman is acting as indeed are you, but is there a touch of that within her personality?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, she's so sharp and so witty, and in just as Maggie Smith herself. And Julian obviously writes to her strength. And I mean, someone said, "Would you love to play the Dowager Countess?" And you're like, "No," because I don't think anyone can deliver the lines the way Maggie does. But she is. I mean, she's such a fantastic woman to be around. And within the show, what I think is also why we're all so close is there's no ego, because the ego would obviously have to start with her. And she doesn't have one. She's a woman
really?
Who's come up through. Absolutely not. She just wants to sit there and, like, in between takes. I've been on movies where people disappear off to the trailer and the only time you see them is when they come out to do the scene.
Yeah.
Whereas with Downton, we'd all go in, whatever room we weren't filming in, if we're doing a dining room scene, we'll go into the library and there's just a circle of chairs and we'll just sit there and talk. And she's very interested in young actors' careers. But also, you just sit there and I would always try and angle her to give us an anecdote of something that happened in her life, in her career.
Then
that's just a treat, just to sit there and listen to her.
I should imagine it is. What brought you down the acting route?
I started in St. Michael's College, just down the road from you there in Dublin 4.
Yeah.
And on Elsby Road. And it was through three people, actually, in St. Michael's who were really influential to me. There was Martin Kelly, who was an English teacher, and Brian Mahoney, who sadly passed away in my last year of school, but he was a primary school teacher who also directed plays in the senior school, and Maura Cranny, who was a wonderful woman, and I'll say hello to her now, who's still going strong back in Dublin. And it was those three, and especially Maura, who saw that I had such an interest, and I did private classes with her for many years.
Right.
And that kind of set me up and gave me a great kind of foundation in the understanding of the classics, which is something as a 12 and 13-year-old you don't often get.
But right.
She saw that I was so interested in it, and that really kind of fed my my love of acting and theatre especially. So I went in and studied drama and theatre studies in Trinity.
Yeah, she did that for a lot of people, I think, gave them an appreciation because she went around various schools, as I recall.
She did, of course, yes. Yeah, she did.
Sorry, I beg your pardon?
No. And just one of my favourite memories is her poetry and her love of poetry and how she could recite. I mean, she was like an encyclopedia. She is an encyclopedia of poetry. And I used to always love when she would just go, oh, this reminds me of a classic, and suddenly you'd have an epic poem that would take 20 minutes.
Right. Okay. I saw you quoted somewhere saying that you think that there is a divide growing between critics and fans, because, you know, the critics, I suspect, some just want to show how clever they are. Mm-hmm. What's your own attitude to critics and criticism?
Well, I think I have said that because I do feel that sometimes people are turning to the popular movie, what's actually making money these days. I find that sometimes the critics are incredibly harsh on, and rather than actually seeing it for what it is. And the best example I have of that, actually, I suppose, is when Downton started, it was, you know, very, quite celebrated, and then a lot of the cast and I think the people who, the creators of the show, felt that there was a kind of feeling of tall poppy syndrome, that as soon as it kind of became a success elsewhere, suddenly people said, actually, well, maybe it's not that great. And I kind of feel that that's happened a lot. It happened, I think, with Bohemian Rhapsody as well, a movie that I was lucky enough to be part of, where it was slated, and then it didn't stop the fans going to it. So I don't know, sometimes I feel that people aren't looking at it for what it is, which is entertainment, and I think Downton is certainly like that. Someone right. described it as it's like getting a big hug from an old friend, and I think we could all do, especially with the guest you had on before, we could all do with a big hug right now.
Right. I do you regard yourself as a Trump supporter?
I wouldn't, no.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't think a lot of California would either.
Well, it didn't show in the polls anyway. And in the real polls, I mean, where there was where there were votes counted, so to speak. Mm. But you'd expect that to go Democratic. When push comes to shove, you've worked in so many media now, but you started on stage. Which would be your favourite?
I think stage will always be my first love, because it really was, and it's where I learnt my craft. And having gone to drama and theatre studies, I did the academic course, which meant that I could go out and do plays and work professionally, which you couldn't do on the practical course. So I kind of learnt and made my mistakes on the stage, and it's something that a great mentor to me, John Kavanagh, who's a great Irish actor, he once said, we were on the Abbey stage doing our dress rehearsal, and he said, this is where you'll learn, this is where you'll fail, and this is where you'll pick yourself back up. And I think because of that also, there's something that happens when you walk out in front of a live audience, that you never get that rush anywhere. And even when you finish a project and, you know, you have the lovely, wonderful celebration like we had on Monday on the red carpet.
Yeah.
But you never get that same, the energy and the electric feeling of, and that second, and I always get a little gremlin just before I walk out on stage, almost saying, you don't have to do this. And you have to fight through him and take that step. Yeah.
And that's a little niggle of fear?
I don't know what it is. I think it's almost, maybe it's that little tingle of excitement that says, you know, what are you about to do? It's not fear really as much as I think it is just adrenaline.
Right.
That fight or flight, that tiny moment of fight or flight.
Right.
I don't know, I've always had it, and I've spoken to a number of actors who have it too.
Right. Well, listen, it's lovely to talk to you. I'm going to have to leave it there because we're up to Angus. You're in dealing with Ireland here now. Before you go, what's next on the menu?
There's a couple of projects that I'm looking at, but nothing solidified. The next on the menu, I think, is the delivery of the little baby end of January.
Ah, that's kind of important. Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
Listen, really very, very nice to talk to you, and thanks
lovely
for coming
to
into studio. And that was Alan Leach, folks. And now we will pause for the Angelus.